Hello, and welcome back to the Tax Advisor and Biz Coach Success Podcast. The purpose of these episodes is to help entrepreneurs become more successful, avoid tax and other business headaches. Remember to tune in frequently, as we will be sharing tips, secrets, and expert recommendations in how you can manage your finances, improve wealth, and grow your business. Please like, share, and subscribe. Here's your host, Liz Soria.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back, folks, to the Tax Advisory and Business Coach Success Podcast. I'm Liz Soria, your host. And today we have an expert episode, which I'm really excited about. And our special guest is by the name of Hope Alcocer. And our topic is going to be about female entrepreneurship, which I really like that topic as a female myself. So I'm going to go ahead and do a brief introduction of Hope, that way the audience know who you are, Hope, and welcome, by the way, to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. Well, Hope Alcocer is a woman empowerment advocate and a self-published author. She owns the Media and Plus PR firm, Wonder Woman Media, I love that name, of which she relaunched the past year. Her second book, 30 Things Before 30, was released this spring in the month of March, and serves as a self-help book for millennials. Now, her first book, Where Hope Lies, was released last year on the International Women's Day. Well, you know, Hope, welcome so much, you know, to our show. You know, I'm glad that you're here with us. And, you know, one of the things I love doing is bringing all kind of diversity of people background and experience and skills that they have, because I believe we all learn from each other. And, you know, I like to just give you, you know, ask you brief questions just to get to know a little bit. And if you want to add anything to your intro, please, by all means, you can do that right now.
I know you covered it all.
I did. Okay. I'm sure there's a lot more than just that. That was very brief, but. Yeah, definitely. So what are some of the challenges being as a self-published author? Because I, you know, one of the things, by the way, I do kind of add a little of my own personal story when I'm doing the interview with everyone else. And I have published my own book too. And I find it to be a little bit, kind of bumpy, you know, especially on your first experience, like anything else that we do the first time, where, you know, I feel like I wish that I have had someone or a better guidance in how to do things. So, again, what has it been your challenges to self-publish your own books? I mean, can you share that with us, please?
Absolutely. So, you know, when people hear that you self-publish a book, they think it's super awesome and you have full control. And that's true. You do have full control of the book, the publishing, you know, what the cover looks like and everything. What they don't realize is two different things. One is that you have to fiscally back the entire project yourself. You don't have a publisher to lend that hand. You don't have a literary agent. You don't have anything like that. So it is full, you know, solely yourself, which is great because, again, you get to decide everything. But fiscally, it can be very draining. And so, and then the second part is, once it's out, you can't just be like, I released a book, I'll let my publicist handle it from there. You are doing everything. You're doing the promotions. You're doing the events. You're building the momentum and getting this audience awareness. I'm in marketing and publicity, so that was a little bit easier for me. I already had the plan. I was ready to go. But you are everything. You are the accountant. You are the event coordinator. You are the editor. So it is a lot. But right now on Amazon, I believe the number is like 25% of the bestsellers are actually self-published. So
right?
It's not like it's definitely up and coming. It's definitely acceptable. You just have to work a little harder to make your mark and obviously to have that funds prepared. My first book, I did not have the funds ready to go. And so I was a little, it's like, oh, I'll just, you know, have it edited and we'll be good to go. Well, no, you know, you need a publicity budget. You need a social media campaign budget. You need the travel budget to be able to go promote the book. And then each round you edit, it obviously costs money. So this second time around, I was more prepared, thankfully, and it was a smoother process.
Very interesting. And I think, like I said, I kind of experiment the same, you know, phases that you went through, because even if you have, you know, I had someone who's helping me out, obviously doing the design of the cover, you know, of the book, and also doing some of the PR and social media. But I also found that out of the many mistakes that I made with, you know, publishing my first book, and this was way back in, I think it was early 2015, and just last year I decided to revise and edit the book. Because as you probably know, in the tax law, I mean, everything in accounting, a lot of things are changing.
Oh, I'm sure.
Crazy, because it's like, by the time you think you're memorizing something, something else is changing. And it's like, well, you know, you can never really catch up 100% with the changes, but we do the best we can, right? But my question to you is, how important it is the probably pre-launch of the book itself? To the, you know, to the audience, to the public, because I think that's a very crucial point that I missed, because I thought I was so concentrating and just trying to, you know, have all the content and everything else into place and having the proofreading, you know, and having the artwork. But how important and what is the process to that, if you don't mind sharing with us, in regards to the time frame, and what will be your tips to share with us in regards to what were the best strategies that you implemented that has worked, especially now on your second book, because you want a second round. So please do that for us.
Right.
If you mind sharing.
Well, I was blessed because the first book, it was based off of a blog I had kept 4 years prior. So the first book was blog entries compiled into a book. So I had thousands of people knowing that I was creating a book, and they could not wait for it to come out. So when that, it was building up that like little teasers. Yeah. Gosh, social media is, I know you hear it time and time again, but I can't say it enough. Social media is so important for promoting anything. You have to whet your audience's appetite. You have to pull them in, and you have to be consistent. I have fellow authors who they'll drop a little, you know, note about how it's coming out, and then they'll wait another couple months and the audience forgets. So you have to kind of be in their face about it, without being too annoying. And so what I did was like a countdown, a 30-day countdown, and I would do a blurb from the book each day leading to the month. Obviously, even in a day of social media, you need to still have your traditional press release and distribute it to people that, you know, would find it interesting and maybe want to do a story on you. And then also just, you know, tug at your audience's heartstrings. Even for a book like your industry, there's still a way to find that emotional connection with your audience. And once you find that, you'll be able to kind of...
Yeah, sorry, that's cold money, yeah, hitting your pocket. for my industry, anything that you tell people, it's going to hurt your pocket, then you get their attention.
Yes, exactly. So kind of looping them in like that.
So that's good. So your suggestion is at least 30 days before the actual launch of the book, you need to start creating all this fuss, you know, and buzz going around in media.
Oh, I would have it created well before the 30 days. I had my content created months before, ready to go, but I would begin the rollout, the countdown, getting everyone excited, you know, at the very least 30 days. It's fun to have that month countdown, and then your friends or family are sick of you promoting your book, but it works to have that build up. And then I have an editorial calendar. Even now I have, the book is out, but I have events until December for the book. And so we have notated, okay, you know, this month we're going to do this, this month we're going to do that. And it helps you stay a lot organized, you know, a lot more organized when it's all laid out versus, okay, it's Sunday, what are we going to post tomorrow? So, you know, social media has been huge in promoting both books.
And in your experience, which platforms have been the best? See, I'm digging in now, right? I'm trying to get the best out of you.
Absolutely. You know,
how do you think books was the best one?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, if you're a couple years ago, 2-3 years ago, I would have told you Facebook, because that was where everyone was going for their news and catching up with their friends. And now with everything changing, the algorithm changing, needing more money to even have your post be seen by just a general audience, I would, you know, say Instagram is absolutely huge. That's where most of my book sales come from on both books. Actually, when I trace it, it's always through an Instagram link that links to Amazon, Barnes and Noble. And I love Instagram because you can have the text, you can pull, again, that emotional heartstring with your audience, with your words, but then you also have an image or a video that constantly, you know, is on their feed. And then also using Insta stories to kind of give them, you know, an inside look of like, hey, this is before we go on set for an interview, or this is the behind the scenes look at my book trailer. And it connects with the audience in a way that they're like, oh, I want to stay, you know, I want to follow her, and then I want to purchase her book and, you know, learn more about her. So it's, Instagram's been absolutely huge for both books, both campaigns, and then, you know, anything I do related to marketing and PR.
Wow, that's a great tip. You know, I don't even have an account with Instagram, by the way. I'm that honest. What can I tell you? I started way back my social media, like, oh my goodness, 2010. I kind of feel right. A little old here. It wasn't really until like 2012, maybe around that time when I started really becoming a little more active. And now in these days, I have a lot of what they call curate content, which automatically just updates my account. Plus, we also, add things like the videos and the podcasts to bring more value to everyone who's connected with us. But no, I haven't tried Instagram, so that's definitely a good point for some of us like me that we haven't, or others out there who haven't even bothered to open an account. So you feel there's more buzz on that. What about, isn't Instagram connected with Facebook? Correct me here, or I'm wrong.
It is. No, it is. It was purchased by Facebook. So what's great to that effect is you can cross the audiences. So if you have a business page and I want to share something in my story on Instagram, it goes to my 5,000 Facebook friends as well, or my professional page as well. So then I don't have to worry about content, but it has been so hard to generate a buzz on Facebook, again, unless you have those ad dollars. And I, consult for a living with social media and all that, full time. And I tell my clients, unless you have thousands of dollars to pour into ads on Facebook, you're not going to be seen by your target audience. It takes a lot. So Instagram kind of takes away that hassle and that budgetary concern. And again, highly recommended. Another thing that people forget is if you're going to have an Instagram account and you want to be promoted, don't forget to interact with your followers. Don't just slap something up on your feed and then go away. Interact with people following you, like photos, and then you will be pushed higher to your feed as well, or, their feed if you interact more.
So definitely engagement. That's a big plus.
Absolutely.
You have to have engagement. So even though you might have good graphics or what they call it, infographics? Is that what they call them? Is that what they do in Instagram?
Infographic. Yeah. Well, infographic is when you have the image and then the text leading up. So those are used, a lot of times with blogs, but just an Insta post is usually what it's called, or Insta story is when it's the live story. I would definitely tap into that after we're done here. I would get yourself an Instagram account and see what you can do with it.
You'd be my first connection.
There you go. You can follow me.
I'd be sending you an invitation. Hey, hope you want to connect with me.
Oh, I'm ready.
You know what? It's funny. And I really have a good laugh on this because I was brought up. They told me this like over 2 years ago. And I'm like, why you don't have an Instagram account? I said, well, I mean, between Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn, which is the main platform that we use, at least, in our, professional industry. But again, I mean, this is great to know because if it happens to be I need to release another book and it's working for you or anybody who's listening to this, podcast or watching us through the YouTube, because now we're recording this also in video format, I think it's important to know. And obviously you have the experience. So if they're in the process of thinking about, self-publishing, they might want to get a little support from someone like you who's been through that kind of experience, right?
I'd be happy.
You can help them out with, do you actually not only help your clients with the promotion, do you have designers creating the infographics too?
I do everything. I have a marketing assistant, but I will curate the posts. I always take a look at their social medias and I see what's lacking, what are they strong in, what can be improved. And then I go ahead and create a strategy. I create the content for your strategy. And then I go ahead and execute it, or I can teach you how to execute it so you don't feel kind of paralyzed that I have to just work with me. I want my clients to feel empowered to do their own social media or their own marketing publicity if they so desire. But I'm more than happy to work with clients to actually do it for them. Because a lot of business owners are like, I am so busy with my business. I don't have time to post consistently, which is the biggest key, is to post consistently. So I do that for several clients in a variety of industries.
Wow, that's very interesting. So at least the audience who are, again, they're listening or they're watching this video, if you're in the process of thinking about, publishing a book or something, I mean, I would strongly recommend that really the more support you can get and better help, right. It's going to be a more successful launch than you doing it on your own, because it can be difficult. And again, you give us a really good tips on Amazon, which is worth having it, you know, available, right? Barnes and Nobles, I mean, how does that work with Barnes and Nobles? I mean, do you have to have a special account with them? How does that work? Because I never had my book published with them. So is that something you really recommend? Is it Amazon, like the big boy out there, where you want to publish it first there and then maybe wait a couple of weeks? How did you, what was your strategy behind that, if you don't mind, Hope?
So there's two ways you can go about it. I mean, obviously Amazon is the king right now. Amazon is reigning, right? However, it absolutely helps as an author to be able to say, my book is at Barnes & Noble. You know, it's great for me to, my grandma, like, is always referencing people to go to Barnes & Noble, you can pick it up. So there's something to be said for that brand as well, right? Sure. So you can do it one of two ways. If you publish through CreateSpace, which is Amazon's publishing platform, they'll have the book on Amazon for the first, I believe, 4 to 6 weeks. From 6 to 8 weeks begins the time of which it's pushed through to Barnes & Noble and other local retailers. So my first book, I did that. I didn't have to worry about it being in Barnes and Noble, but I had to wait 6 to 8 weeks for people to see it there. The second time around, I ended up just opting to do Amazon and Barnes and Noble on the same day. So I published through Barnes and Noble. It's called Nook Press, N-O-O-K, and then Press, like their tablet. And then I can publish it independently on their platform as well. So that, and then you could order through Barnes & Noble, you can order hardcover or paperback, whereas just on Amazon, you can only do paperback. And that's something a lot of people, when they publish a book, they want it on paperback. They want to kind of have that. I think it's just kind of like a rite of passage as an author to have that.
So do you have a copy of your book that way you can share in the video? You don't have it?
I don't have it today. I'm sorry. I just
How is that?
I know. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I apologize. But you can find out more about my book. It's 30. So the number 30, 30, TB, and then the number 30. So 30tb30.com or just 30thingsbefore30.com. But that's a mouthful. So I like to give that
Okay. Well, let me ask you something real quick, because it definitely, I think that, again, as females, we have a little bit more of a challenge, and I want to believe that, you know, we have come a long, long way, you know, from 40, 50 years ago. And I think that for us, it's a little bit, I can say easier, or probably a little more smooth for us to be able to, you know, have better exposure and be accepted. But at the same time, we need to be realistic, and this is no offense to any man who's listening or watching this video, but
right.
We still have some obstacles that we, you know, on the process of working, and some of them might not understand that, because as a man, you don't have these issues, but as a female, we do, and we're still working on it, guys.
Absolutely.
So, you know, and I really have my highest respect to men who support very much, you know, women's businesses, because I think deep inside, they have a mother, they have a sister, they have a female, somebody that represents right. their family, and they have heard these kind of things, and I think that's why they've become a little more supportive to the female gender. But one of the things I wanted to ask you, just to kind of bring empowerment, you know, to the woman out there, is, you know, what would you really recommend women when it comes to getting into the journey of entrepreneurship as a female? I mean, what kind of guidance will you give them to how to start? And I think especially how to not give up. Because sometimes,
yeah, it's hard.
Unfortunately, we want the easy exit out. And if things don't work out too fast, as females, we're a little more emotional in that cycle. Yeah. So if we see something's not coming out the way we plan, and, you know, our logical minds are telling us, no, this is not the way it should be, I'm going to give up. What was your journey? What can you, you know, what were your challenges, and what would you recommend for you know, again, women out there who are planning to start their businesses and trying to deal with the obstacles that unfortunately still exist for us?
Absolutely. Well, not to sound negative, but most businesses, if they're going to fail, they'll fail within the first 3 years. And I don't say that to bring a cloudy storm on this interview, but I say that because if that's a statistic, that means that you need to allow yourself at least those 3 years to just see how it plays out. Give yourself that time, allow yourself to make mistakes, allow yourself to have failures, because they're just going to be stepping stones and building blocks for the success ahead. So that'd be my first advice, is it may seem bleak for the first couple years. I've been an independent contractor for almost 8 years now, and, you know, running my own business for that long. Thank you. And there's been so many challenges. There's been times where I jump back into a full-time job because I'm so afraid of the unknown. And then I realize I was not meant for that. And so my encouragement is to don't let the first couple of years to depict how you're going to succeed. Just wait it out. It's like a marriage. I'm not married, but I know for my mother, it's that ebb and flow. It's that up and down. It's that valley. And then you have that high point. And so just ride it out like you would, you know, a relationship or a marriage. My biggest piece of advice is to find a mentor. And I've had a couple of strong, amazing women in my life who, there's always gonna be someone better than you, right? There's always gonna be someone more successful. And so you find that person that's made it, and you don't have to, you know, be hounding them all the time. You're like, what do you do? What do you do? But have that person in your corner that you can say, this is my struggle. Can you help me? And, you know, it can just be sitting down for a half hour with a cup of coffee and just getting an inspiration, or maybe they're available via email. So I've always had mentors throughout each stage in my life. Even at this stage, I have someone above and better and beyond that kind of guides me. The second piece is, because more and more women are starting their own businesses, which more power to them. It's incredible. It's incredible. Yes. Watching all these businesses and these women online and having these, you know, these influencers, and they're just killing it. The only problem or downside of that is now everyone is an influencer. Now everyone is a marketer. Now everyone is, you know, an artist, and now everyone is a coach. And so my challenge then is to, so you stand out in this sea of women trying to make it big, is to find your it factor. And there is something within you that is different than anyone else, different than any other coach, or different than any other publicist, or any other social media marketer, different than any other author. Find that and hone in on that. Spend your time and energy harnessing that and making that very defined and definite to your audience, so that they know why you stick out. Because there's, like I said, there's hundreds of publicists in my age group in New York. What's going to set me aside? You know, what is going to make me stand out that a client is going to say, I want this one? So spend some time journaling, reflecting on what your it factor is going to be. And I think you'll find it to be very successful if you do that.
Wow. Well, that was a lot of good suggestions there. So, and I really appreciate it. And by the way, thumbs up, I'm from New York. Okay. So I was born in the Big Apple.
There you go.
New Yorker. There you go. So even though I live in Florida, I think the majority of people that came from North, I mean, we're just running from the cold weather, right? That was the main reason why we hit down here to South Florida, but, definitely New York will always be a special
heart
forever and ever, amen. You know, and every time I have the opportunity to go and visit, it's like I feel that's my hometown. I mean, it is. Yeah. But you know, besides that, I think that another thing is, I believe that it seems like for the millennial woman, it's become a little bit easier than for my generation, because I'm a little older than you, just by like 2 years. No, just kidding. So, and I have that dry sense of humor, by the way. So the thing is, do you think that it's getting easier really right now for females, or is it like there's too much going on out there and there's no direction, and maybe perhaps you need a little more help in your generation to kind of guide, you know, the woman to even a more successful path, you know?
That's a great question and great reflection. I think we are in a time that if you're going to succeed, it's now. I mean, we live in a day and age where women are the front runners right now. Not to give any less attention to the males, we need you guys.
But absolutely, this is the time. No doubt.
We need you guys. But we are in a time where if our voices are going to be heard, it's going to be now. It is in front and center, which is beautiful. It's been a wonderful thing to see all these women come forward and know that they can do things and be good at them. I do agree with you, though, because now so much power is being given to us. A lot of these millennial women are like, now what? Like, what do I do? You know, I have the world. What do I do? What do I run with? So just stay focused would be my advice. You know, you're meant to do one thing. It doesn't mean you can't add on different things, but harness, like I said, that it factor, what you really want to do, and hone in on that and make it your own. Because otherwise, you're right, we have just, you know, carte blanche right now to go ahead and explore it and try all different things and be a boss babe. But you do kind of have to stay focused, or you can get very overwhelmed and kind of frazzled and like, what am I doing, you know?
Yeah, I think that, again, and you're right, there's a wide variation of things that now females can do in this new generation. And I think that to me, I mean, this is great. I love it, right? And I always give empowerment to women to, and I tell them, I said, you're not limited. I mean, really, it's up to you where you want to head. And, you know, again, we hear this over and over, and it's, you know, you must have passion, right? Yeah, we must have passion, but it's not the only ingredient to become successful. It's a combination of different ingredients. The same way as when we cook, we have to add different ingredients to make it taste better. So it's the same thing in our career and or, you know, our profession. We need to add certain ingredients to hopefully make it to that success point. And like you said at the beginning, we are going to have ups and downs. I mean, it is c'est la vie. It is life itself. And it wouldn't be, it'd be too so static. Imagine how boring life would be, right? So, you know, we need to have those kind of shakeups sometimes, because if we don't have it, then we really can't learn from that. So I think that there's plenty of opportunities out there for the millennial generation and females. And, you know, I feel like it's just, like you said, coaching is extremely important. Picking the right person that you can connect with, right? Because I think that's important, that you must have that kind of connection. Because, again, you want someone that it's going to be able to truly help you in the process as a female. Right. To move forward, because there will be times, and we know that, right? I accept it. Where, you know, we kind of have our down days, and when we doubt ourselves, because as humans, I mean, we just doubt our abilities sometimes. Right. And it's very sad, because it's a, what calls a really inner critic that we have, and a worst enemy is who? Us.
Ourselves. Yeah, absolutely.
And it's very sad, isn't it? So sometimes we need to be kind of pat ourselves in the back that we're doing a good job, you know?
Yeah, celebrate yourself. Absolutely.
You know, so as females, we definitely need to move forward. And it's wonderful to have, you know, a powerful woman like you and you know, in the forces, and try and help a lot of other women out there. And I'm sure you help many men too. There's no difference with that. So definitely, you think that for a company or a service to have self-published books and things like that, it's a good way of exposure, you know, for their business, of being able to share this, you know, their knowledge. That's definitely a big plus, isn't it?
Absolutely. If someone's interested in self-publishing, it's a great way to, you know, say what you need to say, get it on paper, and then have it there for years to come. With a social media post, it moves down your feed, right? But with a book or with an ebook, you have it there. It's tangible. My advice, you know, in the author community, I'm a part of several author communities here in New York, and we have the published authors who self-publish, and then we have the authors who were published by a publishing company. And there's a little bit of resentment on those that have been published by a publishing company, because they're like, your book sometimes isn't edited as properly, and it doesn't have the highest quality. Like, they took years to get accepted by a publishing company, and we're able to just push out a book. And, you know, I'll be the first to admit, my first book, it had terrible editing. It was all I can afford. I did the lowest budget editing possible. Even in this book, I read it and it's much better, but I'm like, oh gosh, there's a typo. And so I would advise, like, if you're going to put out a book, a self-published book, it is your words and your reputation kind of on the line. And make sure you go through the time and energy to find a good editor. Even if it takes longer to produce, it's well worth it versus the bad reviews after, or the, hey, it, you know, your editing could have been better. It's worth it to just wait. And I highly recommend it. You have to be willing to do a project like that 200% before putting out a self-published book. So you make sure you, yeah, make sure you check everything off your list and it's a quality piece of work, because that will be with you for as long as your digital fingerprint is out on the internet, which is forever. So just a little words of wisdom there.
And one last thing before we wrap up here, this interview, Hope, do you have your books? I mean, are they just paperback, or are they also audio and what else they have in an ebook? Do you have those formats also available?
Both books are available on paperback and ebook. And then 30 Things Before 30 is being released next week on Audible. and iTunes and all that. So that's very exciting. My first book was not, there was not an Audible version. And then in the summer it is coming out because I've, you know, it's been over a year and I'm still having people saying, can you please make it, you know, an Audible book. So we're going to do that. I didn't even think about it. I didn't even think about it when I get started, but I guess that that's more of a trend too, is people want to be able to work and cook and work out while listening.
Absolutely.
And I don't think about that. I think that people want to relax with the book, but absolutely. If you can do that with your book, make sure you find a great narrator. I found a woman who I listened to her voice and I'm like, oh, I wish I sounded like that. Like, it makes me want to read. Whereas I think I sound like a man. So I'm glad that I have someone narrating my books. So yeah, highly recommended. Audible, ACX.com is Amazon's audio version of their publishing. I'm sure you're familiar. Highly recommend it. And it doesn't cost anything if you do the royalty option. It's just the 50-50. Royalties are split, which is, I didn't know. It was incredible.
It's a no-brainer. I agree with you.
Oh, absolutely.
Because
absolutely.
I was amazed. Actually, like I said, it was in early 2015 when I released my book, you know, starting running a small business in the USA, because tax laws, I'm only familiar with within the US. Right. I don't do international tax. And again, you're right. I definitely, the first thing I did, I had someone who proofread my book, who edited my book. I mean, it was a challenge. And this was only an ebook at that time.
Right.
All I was doing. Yeah. Because back 3 years ago, that
was right. It was
the going on, right? So anyhow, long story short, and then last year I decided to revise it for the changes that have happened. And also I made it into an Audible. And guess what? I started selling more of my book.
Oh yeah.
More
that's the way to go.
And then I also made the hard copy of what they call Yes. And that started selling too also. So I was amazed that for some reason ebooks was a big trend back 3 years ago, but now it have kind of lost value, if I might say.
People
are more into the audio and trying to use, you know, they like the hard copy. And yeah. I'm old fashioned in that. I love just going to pages and underlying, highlighting. And I know it's just something that I'm from, you know, like I said, another generation, right?
No. There's nothing like a book in your hands, you know. It feels right? Yeah, absolutely.
Good. I'm gonna thumbs up for that. All right,
hope you're not alone.
We have a few things that we agree, and the rest, that's fine. I mean, yeah, I'm just kidding. Hope it's been a great pleasure to have you here on our show. It really is. And I wish you a lot of success, and I hope you keep moving forward and empowering a lot of women out there, and also helping out a lot of men, because this is part of the whole process of marketing. And again, you have a successful PR business, and people who can come to you again, what is the best and contact information that we can have that where the audience can reach out to you, please, Hope?
Sure. So my website is wonderwomanmedia.com.
Okay.
Or then you can reach out. Any of my socials are my first and last name. So at Hope, H-O-P-E, Alcocer, A-L-C-O-C-E-R. I'm sure it'll be in the notes. You guys can follow there. And then also my email is hello@wonderwomanmedia.com.
That's great.
So I love to mentor young women too. If there's any young women listening, I love to just do that. It's one of my favorite things to do. Wherever they are in the country, I love to help young women get started with their businesses.
Thank you for knowing that, Hope, because again, we all have an experience, and it doesn't matter how many years you've been through. Remember, there's someone else that's newer than you.
Right, exactly.
Starting
exactly.
From scratch, and you're already into it for a few years. And I'm into it for a little more than that, but we all like a circle. Isn't it amazing when we really want to help people from the bottom of our hearts and give that value? And I think that, you know, a lot of times I like creating these expert episodes because we give so much value to the audience. And I just hope people really utilize what they hear and what they're watching, because it's important. They can really apply it to their business, you know, and help them a lot. So again, Hope, it's been a great pleasure. Thank you so much for being with
us. Thank you for having me.
And yeah, absolutely. Now, do you have any blogs or anything that people can come and perhaps just, you know, download any information that you might have on your website? Do you have that available, please?
Yeah, if you go to my website, you can obviously get in contact with me. All the links to my books are there. And then if you go, I have a Medium account as well, the Medium blogging platform. And there's different chunks of my new book as well to read on there as well, kind of teasers to see if the book's for you.
Excellent. Oh, that's wonderful. So you have like the preview, yeah. The first chapter?
I do. Yeah. The first 7 chapters. So if people want to get an idea.
Really? Wow. That's a lot. You're very, very nice about that. How many chapters into the books, by the way, Hope?
There's 30 chapters because it's 30 things before 30. And then each chapter is a life lesson. So each one is sectioned off.
Well, once again, congratulations on your books, and I wish you a lot of success as you keep, succeeding in life. And again, folks, it's been an exciting episode with Hope. And remember to like, share, and comment, and subscribe not only to our YouTube channel, but also to SoundCloud, where we host our episodes through our own audios and recordings. Thank you so much, folks, and until next time, it's been a pleasure, and goodbye, Hope. I wish you a lot of success, and we stay in touch, okay? Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bye.